So very excited today to be able to meet with Martin and Walter Vyth from What's Up Prof. You guys have had a huge impact on my own personal testimony and also on so many others. We're here at ASI. So first of all, I just wanted to say, how have you enjoyed your time here at ASI? And what is it that you guys are doing here with your ministry? What is it that you wanted to talk about while you're here at ASI?
Well, we're here, Elijah, because we want to showcase what we do. Our focus is on truth, and truth is particularly in the framework of present truth.
Yes.
What's essential for the time we are living in. And that's the three angels' messages that have to go to the world, because that's God's final call, God's final warning to the world. And it is a call of love, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But if you don't accept it, there are consequences. So what Clash of Minds is all about is putting political and religious events into the context of Bible prophecy and preaching to the world where we are standing in the stream of time, what decisions must be made, and
Excellent. I'm excited to get into all of those topics a little bit deeper. I'm here with Heartland College. We are a school that is based on true education, the blueprint for education, including practical knowledge, as well as preparing missionaries to go out into the world and spread the three angels' messages as we understand them. We have a wellness center, and we promote the principles of New Start as well. And so all of the things that you're saying are very relevant to what we're doing over there.
Now, I understand you reacted to a call. So when you reacted to this call, which is basically based on the three angels' messages.
Yes, that's right.
Come out of her, my people.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So I was working in Los Angeles as a film and television actor. I had just had a film that had several Oscar nominations, and I was playing a fairly well-known, I was playing Cassius Clay. So somebody that a lot of people knew, it had a lot of critical acclaim. And I had been working in film and television as an actor in LA for about 10 years professionally. I was just taking off with my career. It was a big breakout. But I was attending the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I didn't know our message. Mm. I had read the Bible, I believed in the Sabbath, but I didn't listen to Ellen White. The church was kind of divided. Some people in the church would say, yeah, you should definitely read it. Other people would say, oh, you don't need that.
Yeah, and so that's old fashioned.
Yes. Yeah. Or even, you know, I don't listen to that stuff. And, you know, so for me as a person coming into the church, I was like, if you guys aren't even sure about it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And so I would go to church on Sabbath, but I never called myself an Adventist, really. I believed in the Sabbath. I believed in the Bible. What happened was COVID hit. And about a while before, when I was still living in Vancouver, a friend of mine had given me the Total Onslaught series. And I had watched it, about 5 minutes of it. And I said, this guy's crazy.
Totally nuts.
I said, this guy's nuts. I threw it away. I said, I gave it back to my buddy, his name was Israel. I said, Israel, thanks. I think you know, this is a little bit much for me. I'm good. And then COVID happened a while later, years later. And I was sitting in my apartment in Studio City. I was looking out my window on Tahunga Boulevard, and I saw a military truck, military truck, military truck. Then I'm looking at the news. I see Naomi Campbell's in a hazmat suit at LAX. Mm. I'm looking at Hollywood. There's no cars in Hollywood on Highland Ave. You know, I said, this is unbelievable. At the same time, I'm doing a lot of meetings with Spielberg's executive companies, with Tyler Perry's companies, with a lot of different high-level production people, because they want to work with, they want to see if there's projects they can work with me on now that I had this film that broke out. And, you know, not to say anything about those gentlemen in particular, but I spoke to quite a few executives, and the messaging that they were saying to me in our meetings was all about promoting a satanic agenda. Mm. It was always about life after death, eternal life, Masonic imagery, I won't even name the project because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but there was everything about it. There was people that were doing sun worshiping cults and wanted me to come. There were friends of mine that were Freemasons that were promoting Freemasonry in our interviews blatantly. And so I said, man, that's stuff that guy said is true. I'm living it. I'm seeing it in my own life that this guy was telling the truth. And I couldn't remember who you were. So I started looking. I'm like, conspiracy theory, German Adventist guy. You know, I'm like trying to find you, and I found you. And then I watched Total Onslaught. In 3 days, I watched all 36. I just was like one after the next. And I said, oh man, this is real. And then I had a choice to make because I'd been working so long for my career, and I finally had my hands on it, you know?
And I was like, yes.
And then at the same time, I'm like, but this message is the truth. And Jesus really is coming. And I have an opportunity that I won't get another opportunity to do this. And so at that moment, I was like, you know, what profiteth a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I believe Jesus is coming. I believe the message was true. I started listening to my pastor, Dr. O, because that came up after I watched you. You've been to State Line Seventh-day Adventist Church, yeah. So you know Dr. O. And then after that, I listened to both of you guys, and both of you guys were talking about Ellen White so much. I said, well, I trust these guys, and they keep talking about Ellen White. I should give her a chance, you know? And so I read Adventist Home first, and that touched me on a really personal level. And then I read Great Controversy.
Oh, wow.
And after that, I said, you know, this is undeniable. She's a prophet. These things could not have been written by a human being just under their own wisdom, under their own understanding.
Impossible.
So that's how the call came to me. And then God drew me into ministry as I left that.
You know how glad I am to see that, because you are a person that can influence minds. And you had to make a choice, right?
Yes.
And that choice was salvational.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all the people out there trapped in systems.
Yes.
And the motivation that I had in making Total Onslaught was not to be sensational like many people believe, but to enlighten those that are trapped in those systems,
yes,
to realize what they're trapped in and to make a decision to come out.
Praise God. Well, I mean, I can tell you personally, it affected me. I'd love to say my sister Bianca, she'll be happy that I mentioned her, and my best friend Serene Knight are two other people that were, you know, saw the videos. They saw that it was the truth. And they made a total shift, you know, and moved into ministry, moved out of the world that they were in, got baptized, and are now present truth Seventh-day Adventists. Incredibly grateful for the work God did through that.
But tell us how you are going to go forward and use the message to reach those.
So I'm studying pastoral evangelism at Heartland right now and health, and my goal is to use those things to do missionary work. That's what our school is based on. Is developing missionaries, because right now there's so few people that are willing to go out into the mission field and share this message with the world. But I wanted to also talk about, you know, some of the things that you've been covering. We've been seeing the world right now with what happened with Donald Trump just recently, the assassination attempt, Joe Biden dropping out and Kamala Harris beginning to run. To me, those things are very closely tied in with all of the Project 2025 information that we saw not long ago. Either one of you, just can you please talk about how important it is that we get this message out right now when we're seeing these events culminating and wrapping up right before our eyes?
You know what? Our church is asleep, isn't it?
It's asleep.
What is our prophetic picture? Our prophetic picture is that the world will move back into a situation like it was in the Middle Ages, where the church will dictate morality by law. That is unthinkable under a Biden-Harris system
exactly.
of governance.
Yes. Exactly.
But prophecy says that it will happen.
That's right.
So what must happen? Christians must be galvanized into believing that they have to take control or the world will go to pot.
That's right.
So, in the Hegelian dialectic, how do you achieve this? Let's say there's a master puppeteer behind the scenes, and he's trying to shift the mind into a synthesis where people will say, enough is enough, we have to dictate morality. So let's use some shock tactics. Let's put a message out there, I will empower the church from day one. Who said that? Donald Trump said that.
That's right.
And you will not have to vote again once you have done that. That sends a powerful message out into the world. Mm-hmm. At the same time, let's attack Christianity from every single angle. Mm. Let's bring in the woke world. Let's bring in the transgenders. Let's bring in all of these issues. And let's use the Paris Olympics to really rile the Christian world up and say, Christian world, stand together. Enough is enough. Is that mindset happening in the world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think it's ironic that it was in, I don't think it's coincidence that it was in Paris.
Of course.
Of all places that they have these images being
promoted.
Where
did it start in 1798? The whole, what was it, secularism?
Where
secularism came
out. Yes, that's right.
It was in France.
Absolutely.
The French Revolution.
France, which is the basis of the French Revolution and the whole ideology of do what thou wilt is the whole of the law, right?
That's right, that's right.
Now, if you want to create sympathy for that cause, then any event, whether it be real or whether it be unreal, that cements this mindset would be very useful. So let's say you have this assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. What did that do to the mindset of many people? Didn't it create a bond of sympathy?
For sure. Even people, I mean, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg,
yes.
he said, even he had a comment favorable towards Trump after that assassination.
And he's so seen as a liberal,
yes.
but obviously the devil understands how martyrdom works.
Yes.
Because martyrs were some of the reasons why he wasn't able to overcome the church. And so he understands that when there's a martyr, people are going to have sympathy and empathy for them. So he's trying to use that
Correct.
To his advantage.
Now we don't know who's going to win the elections.
No.
And we are not going to favor one or the other. But it's very interesting to me that the think tank around 2025 has been literally saying that these things have to be implemented from day one.
That's right.
Right. And they also said they hope that it will be a bloodless revolution.
Mm. Yeah, they hope it.
So if the left capitulates, it will be a bloodless revolution. But they also said if the left wins, there will be a revolution.
Mm.
Wow.
There were some senators.
Either way, it's interesting. If the one wins and it does come to a civil conflict within the nation, it will move in the direction of prophecy
That's
whether
right.
the left wins or whether the right wins. If the right wins, well, then these things, including Sunday law, are on the cards from day one because that stands in Project 2025.
That's right. I think page 581.
Go. So left or right, with or without conflict, with or without blood, Bible prophecy will be fulfilled. And that's the message. And the climate and the atmosphere that you have in the world right now is so open and conducive to this that whether they achieve it by the ballot or whether they achieve it by force, that's where they want to go.
That's right. So Ellen White is clear when she talks about civil war, when she talks about the nations that we see currently in conflict, the separation between those who have and those who don't, and how those who are hungry and in need of food and money are going to rise up. And so we see these things are going to take place in
prophecy.
So
we're going to have economic chaos.
That's right.
Doesn't Matthew 24 say that already?
Absolutely.
So let's say that the table has been set. The food is on the table. All we have to do is partake of it. Right?
That's right. And many people are seated at the table already ready to eat. I did want to talk as well. Speaking of the church, you said that they're asleep. Revelation says that we are the Laodicean church. We're lukewarm. There have been some very public statements. And I don't know if you want to cover this. You can always cut it out later if you want to. But recently, Ben Carson was on Tucker Carlson. He made some statements. Number one, that there's nothing in the Constitution that speaks about the separation of church and state. He said that Donald Trump was chosen by God to save America. And he said that we should include the Ten Commandments in our school systems, and highly alluded to the idea that we should include them in our institutions in America in general. These are things that go directly against what Spirit of Prophecy says we should be doing.
Exactly.
As the most prominent, probably Seventh-day Adventist in the world, most well-recognized, I would love to know what your thoughts are, not just on him, but on Adventism as a whole, and why is it that we're letting go? You know, I think Elder Ted Wilson was saying, hold fast was his message. Why are we letting go of these truths just as we see them fulfilling?
You know, it's like ecumenism. Some people believe that by being within the ecumenical system, you can influence the thinking of the parties within that system. It's the same within the political sphere. Some believe by being part and parcel of the political sphere, you can influence the thinking of that sphere. But history has shown that the opposite is true.
That's right.
It is more likely to adopt the mindset of those you're trying to reach than to change the mindset. And Ellen White gives very clear counsel that we should not be involved in politics. So I'm not talking, I'm not addressing the mindset or the mentality of the people that choose to be involved in those things. I'm just saying the counsel is that we shouldn't. So that's point number one. Point number two, when you talk about the commandments, and certain states have, of course, now mandated that, and they're hoping it goes to the Supreme Court. Why do they want it to go to the Supreme Court? Because they want the backing of the Supreme Court to say that it's not against church and state.
That's right.
So once you introduce those things, then you have to ask yourself the next question, which 10 commandments?
Yes.
The biblical ones?
That's right.
Or the papal ones?
That's right.
And there's a vast difference.
Huge, yeah.
Now, what does the document in 2025 say, Martin?
It will default to Sunday. So
it will default to Sunday. Even though they recognize that people keep different Sabbaths, the statement is within that document, it will default to Sunday.
Yes. Have you seen Collier's prophetic chart?
Yes.
In Collier's chart, it speaks very clearly about how the mark of the beast will come in phases, and it won't be something that is just immediately pushed on, similar to what we saw in 2020. It'll be something that is encouraged, and then something that is pushed, and then something that is demanded, and then something that is enforced. And so we're seeing that with Project 2025. They said, oh, some concessions will be made for the Sabbath, but we know that as things progress more and more based on prophecy, that that's not going to be maintained. I did want to ask you as well, we've seen these conflicts going around the world with Ukraine and Russia. We're seeing what's happening in Israel right now. I have an article here from our magazine on our campus, Last Generation Magazine, that says all eyes on Israel. Can you talk a little bit about the false prophecies that we're seeing and the false fire that we're seeing in terms of revival, and why people are confused about what's really happening in Israel?
Yes. Now, Jesus said, your house will be left to you desolate.
Yes.
That means there will be no more, on the political level, a recognition of the function of Israel as a nation. Your house is desolate. If you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, there's been a shift from literal Israel to spiritual Israel. All those that are in Christ are Abraham's seed. And the church from a local level, which is the type, moved to the international level, every tribe, nation,
tongue and people.
And the church is distributed everywhere. Ye are the temple of the living God. There's no need for another temple. God is building a spiritual house built out of living stones. That's what the Bible teaches. So the attack that will come from the King of the North against God's people, against Israel, is against those that keep the commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
That's right.
That will be the attack. And it's an attack in every nation, tribe, and tongue, and people, so it has to be a universal influence. To switch it to a local level, You can watch for your salvation to unfold on television.
Yeah.
You can say, all right, this nation is going to attack that nation, and therefore this is the end of the world. And there's no preparation in your heart for what is coming. Wasn't that the mistake that Israel made when they didn't recognize
That's right.
Christ?
That's right.
They wanted a temporal kingdom. They wanted to be exalted as the nation that rules the world. And that's exactly what dominionism is about within the Christian world, and what the evangelical dispensational view is about Israel.
That's right.
Exactly the same thing.
That's right.
And if your eyes are there, you're missing the point, because the Bible says you're not looking there. You're looking at the beast out of the sea, and you're looking at the beast out of the earth.
That's
Revelation
right.
chapter 13. You're looking at the implementation of the mark of the beast, and that's certainly not going to happen in literal Jerusalem.
That's right.
It's going to happen universally.
There might be things happening there. That's not the focus. So all of these things might be coming true and might happen, but that does not mean that your focus has to go there. There's a little book, this Rome's Challenge.
Please.
Do you remember?
This book, Rome's Challenge, is a reprint of what the Catholic Mirror wrote when there was an attempt to introduce Sunday legislation in 1888. And they blatantly state that the Sunday is the mark of their authority.
Yes.
And that the only ones who do not see any relevance in it within the Christian sphere are the Seventh-day Adventists. And that all Protestants are actually bowing in reverence to the command of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Their words, not our words. So this challenge is almost like the first siege of Jerusalem. They could have implemented Sunday law in 1888 with a Blair Bill, but there was a withdrawal. Now they're coming with major force to do it a second time. One article after the other coming out of evangelical pens, secular pens, and Roman Catholic pens, that we need the implementation of a Sunday law.
That's right.
And why is it essential to them? Because it is attached to their authority in religious matters.
That's right.
And their authority, they claim, supersedes the authority of God Himself.
That's right. That's what they
say. That's an arrogance.
Yeah. It's interesting you brought that up with the Catholic Church, because another one of the things that Dr. Carson had said was, we need to return to the principles of the common good. The exact words, and I said,
that's a Jesuit thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was so amazed.
All those words that you mentioned earlier, that was mentioned by him, that's a very ecumenical statement. There's very ecumenical statements. That's, let's stop making waves, because we all want to be in harmony with each other.
Yeah.
But then that comes at a compromise, always. So the Seventh-day Adventist message has to be watered down to be acceptable to the rest of the people. And that's why it's always a problem when we speak against the beast.
If you take the commandment, remember the Sabbath day. These are definite articles. Now, a definite article is always attached to one thing. If we say a cat bumped over the flower pot, it could be any cat. The cat did it. That's the one with a brown spot on the nose. It's
That's very definite.
So if there is a the Sabbath, but there are two in the world now, the one in the Bible and the one within the papacy, which one is the true one?
The one
and
the
why
Bible.
Is it important? Because the one claims, I am your creator, I'm your redeemer, this is the sign that you will acknowledge me as such. You will keep my Sabbath day. Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep.
That's right.
Because it is a sign between me and you that I am the one that sanctifies you, right?
That's right.
That's the one. And the other one says, no, I'm the one that gives you rest. I'm the one that will bring the common good. I'm the one that will bring peace on this earth. We will have a synchronized day of rest, and I am the authority behind it. Aren't you choosing between two opposites?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there a compromise that's possible?
There can be no compromise.
And what's at stake? It is God's authority in your life and your acknowledgement of that. So the day becomes the means to tell the world where you stand, who you accept as your authority.
I'll ask a question. Is it possible to serve Jesus in the common good?
No.
No, because he's not for the common good. He's for his good.
That's right.
He's standing for a principle which is alien to the world.
That's right. That's right. It's interesting. I was reading Ellen White just recently, and she was saying that when you see the union of church and state, the exact words, that is going to be the formation of the image of the image of the beast.
Correct.
And so there's no question about whether or not we should be supporting union of church and state. That is the image of the beast.
Is Trump for the union of church and state?
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Is the head of the Congress in
absolutely, yeah, Mike Jones, yes.
Yes, Mike Johnson, right?
Johnson.
Yeah, he's
Vice President.
What about the governors in the world? What about the governor of the state of Florida? What about the governor of the state of Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. Aren't they for the union of church and state?
Absolutely.
So they're dominionists.
Yes.
But the kingdom of heaven is something that Jesus sets up at his coming and not something that we set up prior to his coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me switch gears for a second. We at Heartland, again, we're very adamant about preaching the health message. We have a belief in evidence-based natural health. And also we have a focus on cancer treatment. We have a 17-day cancer treatment program. Recently we released our magazine, Do You Need a Health Revolution? And we've had great speakers like Barbara O'Neill come to our campus and talk about it. I know you're passionate about the health message. You've used it in your own life. You've promoted it. Why is it so important right now that people have a health revolution? And what is it that we have as Seventh-day Adventists that the world needs?
The third angel's message has a right arm. And that is the health message. Now, the health message is linked to the principles that God introduced in humanity from day one of the creation. And he gave a particular lifestyle to the creatures that he created. And that is the lifestyle that he calls you back to. And that is the lifestyle that he promised the Israelites, none of the diseases which I placed upon the Egyptians. So when he calls you, he also changes your lifestyle. He did it to the Israelites. He is consistent because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. Therefore, in the end time, he will also bring God's people back to that which was there in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And the question is, where's the enemy? Is the enemy something that we have to shoot at, like the diseases and the vaccines and all of these things that we need, that we have to shoot at? Or should we protect ourselves through our lifestyle?
Mm.
If we come to the conclusion that God has put a certain mechanism in place within us that protects us from disease if we obey him upon these principles, then that is a very important point. Because not only does it affect your health, it affects your mind. And when the Israelites of old rebelled against God's health message, he says he sent a leanness into the soul. There was an emptiness there that couldn't be filled. So he wants to redeem you not only spiritually, but he wants to redeem you physically as well. He wants you to have a healthy mind in order to make cognitive, healthy decisions. So the health message is absolutely paramount in the last days.
And
healthy mind, healthy decisions.
Amen. And if possible, it's for ministries. It's a very good thing if you can incorporate that in the ministry in one way or another. We at Clash of Minds, we've also got the right arm now in a form. We've got Verity Center. It's also a health center that we've started.
Excellent.
With all of
so
these.
So we do exactly the same that you guys want to do it.
Yeah.
And it has to be done worldwide.
Yes. Lights all over the world,
everywhere,
is what Ellen White says.
What is the message that Ellen White gave? That if you be found doing this, you will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When Jesus comes, he will find us busy with doing the gospel and the right arm.
Praise
you cannot
God.
Separate mm-hmm. the health message from the gospel.
No.
Jesus healed the physical as well as the spiritual nature. He said, your sins are forgiven, get up and walk. So the two always go together. And does the devil have a counterfeit?
Absolutely. Yes, he does. He has the medical system, the establishment system, the drugs and the vaccines and all these things.
What does he do? Does he enforce it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. By mandates.
All right. By mandate. Does Jesus ever use mandates?
No.
So has anybody got the right within a Christian system to enforce something that is linked to your conscience?
Absolutely not.
Let's leave it at that.
Let's leave it at that. I wanted to give you guys an opportunity with Clash of Minds. What are some of the projects that you guys are moving forward with? What's next for What's Up Prof? And what other resources are you here at ASI showing and allowing people to have access to? And how can they support your ministry?
Martin?
Well, I've already mentioned Verity Health Center.
Yes.
That we've got on. Then we also getting on with a evangelistic school that will be starting in October. A 5-week course, intense course that goes up from growing your own food, three angels messages, how to go and spread it to people out there.
The dangers, music, everything in 5 weeks.
In
course.
5 weeks. And that will probably be on a maybe quarterly level next year, and we probably can hopefully we'll continue with that.
Is that in South Africa?
Yes.
Or is that online?
It's South Africa. We are looking at maybe recording the and also presenting it online. It's a little bit in development stages still,
okay.
But
we'll
it will be coming.
Them. That, and I hope you do have access to it, because I'd love to watch it myself.
Yeah, and the reason why we're doing it short, 5 weeks,
yes.
And that's it, because time is short. We don't have years to tell people. They need to know what's the essence of the three angels message. Why is it important? How do I preach it? How do I live it?
And then absolutely. And then go and do it.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll just say this, you know, as a bit of a bonus. When I was looking at who wrote the Project 2025, Paul Danz, he's recently stepped down. And you look at his background. He was raised Catholic. Mm. His father was eulogized at a Jesuit church and went to Jesuit training. He was in elementary Catholic school, high school Catholic school, and then Jesuit college. His father worked very closely with Dr. Ben Carson. He was a doctor as well at Johns Hopkins. But you can see that they, on that side of things, they understand the time is short.
Yeah.
And they are moving with intention. And so as God's people, it's so important that we believe our message and that we move with intention to share the three angels' messages and not be lackadaisical in any fashion.
History is confirming our prophetic view before our eyes.
Yes, yes. All right, well, that is great. Thank you so much for this time. I will continue to be praying for your ministry. You know, it's been such a blessing, as I mentioned earlier, to my own personal life and to my own ministry. And so I pray that God just continues to watch over you and protect you and to bless your ministry.
And the same for you. You have a very important role to play, because you have a certain audience that you can reach that maybe nobody else can. May God use you richly.
Thank you. God bless.
Right. Thank you. Thanks.
So, Dr. Veith, will you please bless us by closing out with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. What a wonderful opportunity it is when you call people from different walks of life, from the media world, from the academic world, from the corporate world. You bring people together. They have one passion, and that is to preach the final message of warning to the world. I pray that you will empower everyone that is involved here and will bring this message to the world, because time is short and we want to go home. Bless us, bless the message, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.